Okay, just a word about the passage from the Romans. Okay, for the Jews, the resurrection of anybody meant the Son was a sign that the end time was imminent. And so one of the great problems for the early Christian group was it hadn't happened yet. I mean, it's very clear in the letters to the Thessalonians where Paul cautions people, you know, not to move their chips because there's no sign of when Jesus was coming and you don't know when it's going to happen anyway. But this was a real crisis for those guys because they were convinced on their basis of their theology that Jesus would return and with him the end of the world would be ushered in. Well, so he had to constantly caution people, as in this letter to the Romans, but it's clearest in 1 Thessalonians that this was the problem. And so that's been a problem ever since. Somebody wryly observed that, well, Jesus didn't come back, but the church showed up. That not being a flattering assessment of the state of things. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about this wonderful little story about Jesus and Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus was a crook, a major crook, tax collector, and he was simply objected to by the pious Jews, especially the Pharisees. And no one would eat with a sinner, because eating is this great communal event where you share life with this person, and nobody wanted to share life with a crook, but Jesus did. And that wonderful final line sums it up. I've come not to call the just but sinners, which includes all of us, of course. So it should be a story of great comfort, I think. It is to me, as I go to bed every night and see what a bozo I've been in the course of the day. So what is the structure of conversion? So Jesus was probably fairly well known as a preacher with his new message and as I'm having all kinds of lapses today. And a rebel. He was well known. The Romans wouldn't have jumped on his head if he were not achieved some notoriety. So he was a pain in the neck. He was a civil disruptor. And that's ultimately why he gets killed. By the Romans, by the way, not by the Jews, although the Jews seem to have colluded with the Romans to kill Jesus. So what's going on here? It's a very compact version of what a conversion is. Namely, you just have to come into the presence of Jesus. And you see yourself differently, and you see everything else differently. I am a sinner. I'm sure Zacchaeus, when he climbed up that tree, didn't think he was a sinner particularly. But, and this is what Luke is trying to say, in the very presence of this man, who radiated goodness. He didn't sparkle, he didn't do miracles in this case. And Jesus is shown to dismiss faith that's based on miracles. So Zacchaeus, in this instant encounter, which was probably protracted in real life, saw himself differently and was converted. And we have to appreciate the gravity of what Jesus did. Jesus said, I want to eat at your house. No good Jew would enter the house of a tax collector. It was like us inviting every whore in town or crook in town for supper, you know. And remember that famous line, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to get into the kingdom before you nice people. Another kind of comforting thought. So what is the effect of conversion? Luke spells it out very nicely. clearly, it radically transforms Zacchaeus' understanding of who he was and how he was related to other people. Because as I've said endlessly, identity is always a matter of relationship. You change your relationship, you change your sense of self. And what did the change entail? I'll give away half of what I own. The pre-conversion, Zacchaeus would never have thought of doing something like that. Never, never. And paying back four times the people he had defrauded, that, you know, pigs will fly first before that would happen. But this is what conversion means. You see yourself more clearly. You see your relationship to other people more clearly. And you act out of this new perspective, this new awareness, this new self-knowledge. And you do this extraordinary piece of generosity. And you can be sure it was not a momentary thing. At least that's what's the implication to the story. Isn't that, well, I'll be converted today and tomorrow I'll end up being the dirty rat that I always was and go back to business and cheat people and steal stuff. No, I'm sure Luke did not have that in mind. So the great dynamic impulse simply comes from being in the presence of this man, Jesus. No miracles, no sparkles, no heavenly choirs. And I think everybody, at least I can in my own life, look at the three people in my life whom I consider saints. What did they do? They accepted me as I am in all my bozohood. A remarkable thing, I think. Remarkable, remarkable, that I'm not stuck in this role that I've created for myself, but rather can be drawn out of it and drawn forward into greater life, greater generosity, greater relationships, because that's what changed. The nature of Zacchaeus' relationships to everybody, to the people he cheated, to everybody else in his life. I am different. And I really, again, thinking about this all week, I thought of Paul Rankin, Medard Buvala, Mary Margaret Maher, a nun I talked with. She was not crazy, as I'm afraid so many nuns are, driven to distraction by an inhuman discipline that was enforced. So that's what conversion results in. Drastic reassessment of who you are, how you stand to the rest of the world, what your response to the rest of the world is supposed to be. New life. New life. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So says the Gospel of John.